Hey, thanks so much for joining us for our live church programming. I am so glad you're here today. And I want to specifically let you know that we're going to be speaking to men. We run a men's conference called Excel every year, and there I preached a message called Valor. And as I look around Europe, I see so many men who need to understand God as a father so that they can become fathers. They need to understand what it means to be a son, an uncle, a grandfather, to relate well to other people. So this is what we're going to talk about. I know it's going to impact your life. And then I'll be talking more about the work of Life Church at the end of the message. Do you know that when a child finds Jesus as the Lord and Savior, 17% of the household follows? If a woman finds Jesus as her Savior, 33% of the household follows. But when a man finds Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, 93% of the household follows. 93%. I don't just mean follows Jesus. I mean stays strong and keeps serving Jesus. I mean when the men of God start to wake up, when the men of God start to rise in faith and power, and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And let the prayers of a righteous man be powerful and effective. We're going to change this society. Smash the stereotypes that exist today. And that's what I'm believing for. I'm not here just to have an average Christian experience. No way. I'm going to give my life to something that lasts forever. I'm going to build the kingdom of God until he comes again. I don't know about you, but I've decided I am a man of God. I am a man. Have you decided? Have you made your choice? Have you chosen valor? Or are you listening to the lies of the enemy? Are you listening to the gossip around you? Are you saying, no, I'm going to go in the strength that I have. I may not be strong, but I'm going in the strength that I've got. I know people that are stronger than me, but I'm going in the strength that I have. You have unique talents, unique characteristics, every single one of you in this house, in the balconies, and in this place. And if we unleash that power, woo, the enemy is going to flee. We are going to see breakthrough. And this is why I know that this is the case. My second point is this. After you choose valor, valor attracts heaven's help. Valor attracts heaven's help. When you decide, okay, I've made my choice of valor, heaven comes to your aid. The angel of the Lord, he was sent to you. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout all the earth, searching for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Not fully perverted, not halfway, not three quarters, not 99%. Wholly committed, fully committed. Gideon was fully committed. Even in his doubt, even in his questioning, God still sent the angel of the Lord to him. You see, you are qualified by grace, not by your position and your own standing. You're qualified not by your feelings. You're qualified because you are a new creation. That's what makes God send heaven's help to you. Not because you feel like it, not because you want to be it, because you have this understanding. God, I am for you. I love you. I'm with you. And when you have that understanding, this is what happens. You decide, I'm not going to play it safe anymore. You see, I think there's a lot of men that are playing life safe. You do your job, you do your 9-to-5, you do your business, and at night you go home and you just chill out and you watch TV. The drawbridge goes up to your household and you stay in the confines of your home. Now, I know many of us are different because we're at Excel, but you guys, you know what I'm talking about. And you decide that, and maybe friends around you decide, well, it's too hard to change our society, so we're not going to try. Well, you know what, men? I'd rather fail trying. I'd rather try and fail than go to heaven having never given it my best shot. I'd rather give everything I've got to reach this generation for Jesus Christ and to build this house. Or to stay in this place to say that we might as well just give up and leave the world to the atheists or the agnostics or the Muslims or whoever. No, I don't believe that. I believe that we attract heaven's help right here tonight at Excel. I believe that heaven's help, heaven's attention, his gaze is on you. Why? Because that's what happened to Gideon. Just that one act of faith, just that one decision that he did attracted heaven's help. You're here tonight. What that means is heaven's eyes are on you. And that means that God is going to send angels and resources. Right. He's going to send finance. He's going to send friendship. But you've got to decide. You've got to decide tonight, I am going to avail myself to God. You may have come tonight because there was a band of brothers and you just hitched a ride on the way to excel. You can't get to heaven on somebody else's faith. You can't get your breakthrough just hanging out with the crowd, hanging around the things of God. And this is what God was trying to teach Gideon. He was trying to get him to understand this. Gideon, God is with you. Who are you with at the moment? Are you with a bunch of backsliders? Are you with a bunch of people who don't love God? Are you with a bunch of people complaining and, you know, pulling down the pastor and pulling down the church? Are you standing up going, no. As for me and my household and my friendships, we're going to be a force for God in our generation. We may not be perfect, but we're going to do everything we can to advance the kingdom of heaven. Where is that challenge from the men of God in our nation? Where is that in our church? Where is that surge of strength in our church? I believe that we're going to see that restored when we decide how to attract and understand how to attract heaven. I feel like this. I feel like there are men of God that are MIAs. They're missing in action. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're the de-churched. You know, we talk about reaching the unchurched, but what about the de-churched? What about those who came to church and are not involved in church? I call those MICs. Those are missing in church. And if they're missing in church, it's like, well who's going to reach them? Because what's happening is that the men of God who go to try to reach them, they get entangled with the problems of the men who are struggling, with the addictions that they have or the bad habits that they have. And then the men of God get sucked into the same syndrome the MICs have got. And I'm like, that's the wrong way around, people. The men of God have got to reach and rescue. We've got to pull the de-church back into the house of God, restore them back in. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. That's why Jesus said, pray for those who are persecuted. That's why Jesus said, forgive your brothers who have wronged you. Because Jesus wants to restore a generation to serve him. Not condemn people, but to reach them. And I want to put a call and commission out to every man tonight. Can we be MIC rescuers? Can we find men missing from church and we can bring them into the house of God Sunday at the back end of 2015 and let's bring them right back into the grace and restoration and love of Jesus Christ. Now, I know people have made mistakes and they're going to need challenging. They're going to need addressing. They're going to need sorting out. Are you big enough? Do you have enough valor to restore them and hold counsel? You know, the church shoots their wounded. Breaks my heart when I see that. But we should rescue them. Men of God, let's lay some good boundaries. Set some good lines down. And say, let's see some restoration come back in the house of God and see this happen. Let's stand together. And I believe this, that those men who are hiding in the caves, those men who are behind the scenes, they're going to step out of their caves, step out of the rocks. When you decide, I'm not going to be an MIC, I'm planted in the house of God. 21 years I've been in this church. I'm not going anywhere. I am planted in the house of God. What about you? What we need is pillars in the house of God, foundation stones in the house of God. Whatever church that you're planted in, come on, can we be all there? Can we be committed? You see, men, I know people that are MIC and they're in church. They're like MICs and they're actually involved in church, but they're asleep or they're not having their spiritual gifts outworked and applied, and they're not even understanding how to involve in their local church. I'm like, now if we get this fixed, if we get the force that we are as men unleashed, we can do so much more. Come on, I'm gonna say this. Point three is this. Valor opens the door to the process of victory. Victory is a process. Victory is a process. Victory is a process. You're on a process. You're on a journey. Gideon was on a journey. When he started to understand that, okay, I've decided, I'm doing my thing. God says I'm a man of valor, and he's dealing with his doubts. God took him on a journey to help him become the man of God that he knew he needed to be. God has you on a journey. He's got me on a journey. That's why we can't stop. That's why we can't quit. That's why it thrills our heart to see Excel sold out for the first time ever. Finally, we got men that are sold out in this house. And unless we think, oh, that was so good, we pat ourselves on the back. Do you know there's 10 million men within a 2 hours drive of this building tonight. We got a lot of work to do, men. I'm not thinking what we have to do tonight. I'm thinking about how do we get equipped so we stay on the road to victory, so we see victory in our streets and our neighborhoods and our cities and our nation. That's the road that we've got to be on. And that's what Gideon started to understand. And God started to work with them. He started to talk with them. He started to deal with them. And Gideon had this issue where he understood that God was with him. But when you understand that God can be with you, that's cool. But you know, it's entirely different when you understand that God is in you. When God is with you, you have this understanding that God could be with me one day or not with me the next. You know, he could be with me on a Sunday, but not with me on a Monday. He could be with me when I'm in church worshiping and praising, but not on an office challenge when I'm running my businesses. And we've got this understanding, but we've got to realize this, that Jesus Christ died so he could live in us. He could live in you. He could be a part of you so that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Gideon doesn't understand that yet. This is an Old Testament analogy of Gideon. Gideon doesn't live in the time we live in. He doesn't live in the time of the post-resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I'm so glad I live in this moment. I'm glad I live in the resurrection side of history, the ascension side of history, because I'm not like Gideon and neither are you. I want to challenge your theology tonight and say this: God is not just with you. He is in you. That's totally different. If he's with you, that means that you can be separated. Like you can be separated from a friend. But when he's in you, he's inside of you. He's your strength, he's your source, he's your power. I believe that Gideon's heart broke because he realized God couldn't be in him. So he was doing everything that he knew to do, and he led his nation and became a great judge. But at that moment, if we understand that God is in us, our fears are going to be destroyed. So that God is in us, faith is going to rise in our hearts. If we say that God is in us, we're going to take some bold, courageous steps of valor. And that's our road. That's what we're on. Do you understand that God is in you? And when you understand that God is in you, then you've got to realize this: God wants to work through you. Now that's different again. God is not just with you. He's not alongside you. He's in you. But let's not just keep God in us. If we just keep God in us, we'll never see what God has for us revealed. But when we let God out, we become not Clark Kent, but Superman. When we let God out, we let out our inner self, our inner source, our inner strength. And then we decide, no, God is going to work through me. He's going to work through us. And then we don't wait for society to tell us it's okay to be a Christian. We don't wait for people to give us permission to step out in faith. No, we decide this is our time, this is our moment, and we are stepping out because God is going to work through us. And that's what Gideon was struggling with and trying to understand. And he was doing all this, and God was talking to him. And so Gideon says this. He says, okay, let me bring you an offering, God. Let me bring you an offering. Let me bring you an offering. And he goes quickly and he gets a young goat and he goes and he gets this flower, and the angel of the Lord says, put it on the rock. And then as soon as he puts this on the rock, I love this. This is awesome. The Bible's awesome. It says the angel of the Lord took his staff out, touched the rock, and fire came out. I just love fire. Are there any men who love fire? Fire, burning stuff. I'm not like an arsonist or anything, but, you know, I love to see things on fire. And here we got this, the angel of the Lord, and he puts his staff on that, and suddenly, the whole offering just burns up. And as it burns up, as it just catches fire, Gideon, he says this. He says, oh, Lord God, I have seen the Lord face to face. For the first time, Gideon realized it wasn't just an angel. This is Jesus. This is the Lord appearing in the Old Testament to a man who had valor, telling him, I'm going to be with you, Gideon,
Wow.
Think about that for a moment. You see, that's how we overcome danger. If valor means that we're going to have courage in the face of danger, how we overcome danger is we see Jesus face to face. As that we have a Jesus encounter that's stronger than the circumstances and the danger and the realm that we live in. I've had a Jesus encounter. What about you? I had a Jesus encounter when I was 19 years old. It was a long time ago, but it's just as real today as it was then. And if I never have another encounter like that, it's enough to see me through my entire lifetime. Because when you see Jesus and you have an impression of who he is face to face, then everything changes in your life. And my prayer for you as we open up this next 24 hours is that you just do not have a good time at Excel. That you just don't have a good curry at Excel. That you have an encounter with the resurrected, risen Lord. It might be in a hotel room with a friend at 2 a.m. talking about the things of God. And you understand that God has been with you, but now he's in me, and now he wants to work through me. And you start to incubate some amazing things. You see, just the other day, I was walking and I was praying on my around this land around us, and I was thinking about some of the challenges and circumstances. And here in the north of England, this is one of the leading heroin problems in the nation, right here in the north of England. And we were preparing for all these things coming up in church, and it was a busy time, and I was kind of tired and weary, and I was out praying to try to strengthen my life. And as I was praying, I had this little God prompt. I felt God say to me, "Steve, you know the abandoned school that you left, that you drove by? I felt God say to me, Steve, I'm going to give you that school, but somebody dodgy owns it." I love how God speaks our language. I love how God communicates in a way that we understand. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? God, you're going to give us this building and something dodgy. So this is what happened. We thought about it. And I came back and I said to my friends, "Hey, let's get some lawyers. Let's get some solicitors together. Try to find out who owns that building, that 4.5-acre site right over there called Wapping School." We dig and dig and dig. 3 months goes by. We didn't hear anything. And we are pressing solicitors. We can't find out who owns it. And then finally we get an email. And the email is from the Northeast Asset Police Division. I didn't even know there was a Northeast Asset Police Division. But God sends heaven's help when you're fully committed. I said, "God, we need help. We need help. We need land. We need finance. We need help to get the job done in our generation." And this police officer said, "Well, this is the deal. This site, we've heard you're interested in it, and we're going to invite you to do a closed bid." A closed bid means that, you know, you just say, "Okay, we're going to put this amount of money in. And then as we put the money in, then we just pray that, you know, somehow we pray that we get the land." We didn't really have very much money, but we decided we're going to transfer it over. Just so happened we had some finance, a little bit of finance. We said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put this bid in. It's a closed bid. It's a one-shot offer. If we lose it, we lose the property and we lose the land." And the police officer says this, long story short, he says, "That site had been owned by one of the biggest heroin dealers in the UK today. He was caught in Spain, extradited, and now is serving his life in prison at one of the penitentiaries here in the UK. He had to pay £1 million cash back to the CPS, Crown Prosecution Services. And they seized his house, his cars, and everything else." And this police officer said, he said, "And now this is your opportunity as a church to get it and do something amazing with it." So we put in a bid. Long story short, the judge, he phoned us from CPS, and he said, "Mr. Gamble," he said, "we have awarded Wapping School to Life Church." And he said this. He said this. This is the application of my message. He said this. He said, "Use it to help people. Use it to help people." Check this out. This is the school that we just bought. I've got a drone shot of it. Just check this out. This is a little clip of what we just got. It's coming right here on this main screen. That's a big school. That's a big victory. That's a big act of God. Now, it's not developed yet. We got a lot of work to do to get the job done. But I'm just letting you know that when you stand up for God through your week, when you step out in valor, you attract heaven's help. God sends his resources to you. What's your need? What do you need from God tonight? Because if you stand up and you say, God, I'm here. I've got valor in my heart. Now can you help me get a breakthrough in my business? Now can you help me get a breakthrough in my marriage? A breakthrough relationally? A breakthrough in my health? God's not going to say, oh, no, I'm going to withhold it. No, God's going to say, there you go, son. What else do you need? He's going to say, I'm going to give you a school. What else do you need? What else do you need from God? We got to get some boldness in the house tonight. We got to get some asking going on from men of God for our marriages and our business. And I'm going to do this as we close. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask you to begin to ask God. I'm going to ask you to step out and ask God for what you need. I'm going to lead the worship. We're going to sing this amazing song called Good, Good Father. I just want to create a moment right now in this auditorium for you just to connect with who God is. The essence of God is that he wants a breakthrough for you this weekend. And so we're going to set this up right now and pray. Right now, every eye closed in this place. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you see every heart and every life and every situation. You see every obstacle and every need and every challenge. God, you've seen our failures. Lord, you've seen our depressions. And yet we're here tonight as men of God. We're reaching to heaven. Send us the help that we need, God, and help us to make these first few steps, Lord. Let that be. Come on, we're just going to sing this song now just for a moment. And just focus on whatever you need from God right now in this moment.
Hey, I just think that message, valor, stirred something in your heart. You know, we're going to stay on this theme to reach more men. We want to reach men and see them become everything that God intended them to be. I believe our generation needs the men of God to emerge, which is why we do our men's conferencing, which is why we speak to the men in our house across our campuses. So we are praying. If you're watching today and you're a man of God, I pray you rise up into your potential, into your calling, into your destiny, and go on and believe God for greater things in these months and years ahead.
Charlotte Gamble's latest book helps us to find perspective in the tough seasons of life. It talks about wisdom in the weariness, strength for the struggles, more passion to persist, and joy for the journey of life. Engaging, personal, and full of biblical truth and wisdom. To purchase this book or discover more resources, visit her website, charlottegamble.com.